Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. TourStaffordVA.com. It is the George Washington Foundation in this morning and holiday events, a bunch of them at Kenmore and Ferry Farm this year. Lots of exciting things going on, and to tell us all about it this morning, Megan Budinger is here, the curator. Dave Maraca is
Director of Archaeology.
You are. That's what I was going to say, but I've put you down in education. That was the pause there. There's always something with you guys. There
is a lot of
something
things.
That always happens when you guys come in. Either I can't read my writing, and my penmanship was much better today, but I have you down with education. So,
I mean, he is my boss, so that is fair. So.
And A.B. Durbin, who is education.
Who is actually in education.
Is here. So, welcome to all of you.
Good morning.
Hello.
This moves into really all times are fun times at Ferry Farm and in Kenmore, but lots of stuff to go on and to talk about this morning. Amy, this has really been a particularly busy year with the anniversary with Kenmore and just a lot of stuff going on this year. There was the party at Ferry Farm in the spring. It's been a good year.
It's been a very long year, Ted. Yeah. No, definitely lots more events and programs. And we're all really excited about how they've all turned out, apart from, 1940s night. But it is what it is.
will that maybe come back next year? No. Okay.
No.
There was a lot of work, I know,
Well, it's not even that. There are other organizations who are going to have a similar event. So,
okay.
For everybody who was looking forward to it, keep your eyes on the news for local organizations.
Those kinds of things do take place. So
yes, yeah. Exactly. But yes, we were nearing the end of our programmatic year, which is a little bittersweet because it has been a great year for programs. But we'll have a lot more returning and some new ones for next year as well. So we're really excited.
Well, and at least I've run into to a number of people that have either taken part in events at either Kenmore or Ferry Farm for the first time because of those events. So that to me, that's exciting.
Yeah, and that it's great to hear that you've run into people, because I think part of the kind of facelift and programming that we've done this year, not only to celebrate Centennial, but also to see new audiences who haven't been to either site. So it's just trying to connect with them in their interests that also relate to our site's histories and the mission. So it's been great.
So speaking of the sites, we should talk just a little bit about, first of all, Kenmore is just packed with history and is just an iconic place around here. And you've spent, Megan, you have spent as the curator there for a while and done a lot of research.
Yeah.
And you still keep finding new things Kenmore remains alive.
Kenmore is very much alive. And I think that was one of the great things about the centennial year was that people really got to see it alive and happening and interesting things going on. And it really was a great year to show off a lot of that research, a lot of that work that we've been doing for quite a while now to really investigate the history of Kenmore. And it was a great time for the house to shine.
Yeah, no, there are more and more programs and things have been done outside this year. And Kenmore is just a cool place.
It's a very cool place.
Ferry Farm has always been a cool place. The house, Dave, how long has the house has been there now? For what, 5 or 6 years?
2018, yes. Yeah. So
okay.
It's starting to look like it's not quite brand new. It's starting to get a little patina on it, which we're very excited about.
Yeah.
And so, and now two new outbuildings are under construction and sort of going to join it on the landscape. And so that's very exciting for us.
The two outbuildings, that is going to be exciting to add to it, because you've always talked about it, and I'm not one who can visualize. So I have been left out of the conversations.
So an 18th century European comes through Virginia, and he says each of these little farms looks like a little village on its own. And so, because there's so many outbuildings that support the main house. And so the idea is to find all those outbuildings and put them back. And now we're actually under construction with a storage building, which is the refrigerator for the kitchen, and a slave quarter, which is a domestic space for one of the enslaved families that lives at Ferry Farm.
You have been doing archaeology and talking about these and in learning it, with these each year with these summer digs. This has to be exciting for you. This is kind of the next phase.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly the landscape will sort of grow and change and evolve as we sort of discover more and more things. It looks pretty much different every time you come.
Yeah, for kids to be able to see the changes that take place, and it will just add to the understanding of what life was like in colonial America.
Certainly, the slave quarter will allow us to discuss a topic that we address in the house, which is domestic enslavement in the 18th century in Virginia. But it will be a more physical presence and sort of be a magnet for sort of those kind of conversations.
We are talking George Washington Foundation this morning, Kenmore and Ferry Farm, Dave Maraca, Megan Buttinger, and Amy Durbin here this morning. There are Christmas events coming up, and we'll jump into that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking George Washington Foundation, Kenmore and Ferry Farm this morning with Amy Durbin, Dave Maraca, and Megan Buttinger. Amy is the Director of Education, and we should mention that it's been a great year, Amy. Thank you for all the programs that you have overseen, and we have had some very fun radio shows previewing a lot of this stuff. As far as Christmas goes, it's the return. First of all, we'll talk about the gingerbread contest. It's back. How many years? Do we know?
So I have been told it is either, this should be like the 39th year, but don't quote me on that. I believe last year was 38, so it should be 39.
Should be.
But again, it also depends on like when we counted like the first year and like, you know, the COVID year. I don't know. So in theory, it is the 39th year of gingerbread, which is quite a few years.
I remember my kids doing it, and they're adults now.
Okay. So we'll just assume it's 39th year.
So, yeah.
It could work. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
So you've seen the progression of like your children doing this and other people are now doing this. And it's great because age 2 to, you know, age 1 foot in the grave can compete in this contest of fun. And this year's theme is Architectural Wonders of the World, which was inspired by the centennial of Kenmore, because Kenmore is an architectural wonder. I think most of us would agree. It's a great piece of Georgian architectural design. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great to do Architectural Wonders of the World? So, you know, there's 7 of them that are officially wonders of the world, but we're, you know, getting a bit of leeway here. So pretty much any architectural design you might think of can count. I know last year, Ted, if you remember, there was the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And then I think everybody's favorite, which I think was best in show, was the Loch Ness Monster Scottish Castle design, which I still loved the fluffy sheep on like the ramparts, which was fantastic. So we're really excited for the gingerbread contest this year.
So what are some of the, well, a couple of things. Do you have to pre-register for this, or you can just on the day, the days you can drop them by, you can just drop them by?
Yes. So the cool thing about the gingerbread contest is that you don't have to pre-register, though we do have an online Google form that you can fill out. And then we already captured your registration information, which makes it a lot easier. But we do have a PDF paper copy that you can fill out at home. And then we will have registration forms on hand when you bring your entry in. And entries can be dropped off November 26th through December 3rd. The final cutoff for the December 3rd date is 4 p.m. So okay. They need to be at Ferry Farm by 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 3rd.
Okay. Well, so what else with gingerbread contests? There are always rules.
Yes. So last year we relaxed the rules a bit, and I think it worked out well for many people. We did have an increase in entries from previous years. So you can use a kit. You do not have to make the gingerbread yourself. We understand that not everybody is a baker, and not everybody wants to make their own frosting or make their own candy toppings, and that's perfectly okay. For those of you who do, we do have a professional category, so you don't worry. You won't be compared to the categories that use kits or pieces that were not made. We have the following entry categories of ages 2 to 5, ages 6 to 10, ages 11 to 14, ages 15 to 17, age 18 and over. We have a special needs category, we do have a family category, and then we've got that professional category. So I am confident that everybody who wants to compete will find a category that their entry qualifies for.
Yeah.
And we do have prizes again, like last year. So a lot of area businesses have donated prizes. So we've got a gift certificate from Agora. We've got a couple from Benny Vitale's. We've got a gift certificate from Fort. Fredericksburg Tourism is actually donating a prize. Liberty Town is donating a prize. Riverbee Books is donating a prize. And Whittingham's is donating a prize. So there's a lot of things that you could potentially win.
Yeah. No, this makes it fun. And if you can win something.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
It really is a family. It can be just a great family memory kind of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, and just thinking about, like, you know, constructing your gingerbread house, you know, how are you going, like, are you going to draw out your plans? Like, we had somebody last year who asked if we could release the category earlier, which we did this year, because it made planning out what they were going to do easier, like, gave them more time. Mm. And so you can be really precise about this, which is interesting, or you can just, like, see what happens with your construction. And it's a lot of fun to see what people contribute, especially there was a couple classes that participated, so they made a class entry, and it was really great.
No, these are the kinds, especially around the holidays, there are just the memory kind of things. Because I can remember, whatever the deadline was, we were rushing around to get it over there on time. And so it always wasn't, I mean, it was not a Hallmark movie where everyone was laughing and putting things together. It was more like yelling and why don't we have some stuff?
I mean, I feel like there's still some of that when people drop off their entries, especially if they're larger entries. Like, there were families that came in last year and it was like, who's holding the door? Somebody get the door. The door needs to be held open. The door is closing. Somebody grab the door. And I was just like, does anybody need help? As we all, like, all the staff is standing around like, this is going to be interesting.
Very tensely watching these gingerbread creations come through the door.
I think, and the one thing that I forgot to mention for the rules, the only thing that I stress that we will not accept an entry if there is Jell-O or any liquid as part of your entry. Mm. That is the one thing that I will not budge on. And it is listed in the rules, which are available on our website. But there can be no liquid or Jell-O as part of your entry.
That can get messy.
Yes.
So that's
nothing good comes of that.
No, that's a good idea that you do that. Now, after you enter, then you can... The public can come by and see the gingerbread houses.
Yes. So the gingerbread house exhibit will officially open on Sunday, December 4th. And it'll be open through December 30th, apart from Christmas Day. And so you're welcome to visit Ferry Farm from 10 to 4 weekdays and then 12 to 4 on Sundays. And you can look at the gingerbread. The admission fee for gingerbread only is $3. There's usually a scavenger hunt, so you can see if you can find all the different gingerbread elements in the scavenger hunt. And then you also, as the public, can vote on the people's choice. So we do have judges come in to judge the exhibits, but the public also gets a vote in that. And so you can vote for which one you think is kind of the people's choice best in show.
I tried the scavenger hunt just for fun last year and failed miserably.
Well, okay, so the thing is, so the scavenger, and I think the Wee Christmas scavenger hunt is a lot more challenging.
I think so, too.
Yeah, so the gingerbread scavenger hunt is visual. So last year we changed it up and we took photos of an element and it was like, find this object and write down, you know, the title of the exhibit or the gingerbread exhibit entry. Whereas Wee Christmas, it was like really, you know, because they're tiny. It's tiny little elements. And it's like, find the most obscure thing in this really elaborate miniature exhibit.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that one is more for like the older audiences and like the gingerbread is more for the younger audiences. So I don't know where we went wrong with you last year.
Okay.
And I apologize for that.
It is an indictment on you, but you weren't trying to make it difficult.
No.
But
no,
this is really, when you talk about, things in Fredericksburg that fit different things. The gingerbread contest has been around, and it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what people do.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Eiffel Tower because that's just tall and spectacular.
And had the lights. So
yeah,
you are allowed
right.
to put lights on your design. We only ask that you provide extra batteries because we cannot do that. So if you would like to include lights like the Eiffel Tower entry did, perfectly fine to do.
It was very cool.
It was.
People really come up, like you said, though, with some really interesting, way more interesting than I mean.
Yes.
Way more interesting than I would.
And I will also, I just like to stress, too, is if you don't make a design that you think doesn't fit the category, the theme, that's perfectly okay. You don't have to do an entry for the theme. We just try to give you a bit of guidance.
Yeah.
So, again, don't be afraid that there's a theme, but it's a really fun activity for people to do.
Architectural Wonders of the World is this year's theme for the gingerbread contest. Then over at Kenmore, it is Wee Christmas, and I knew nothing about Wee Christmas, and Megan, you were the one who educated me on this, and for a few years you had your own house was in it.
Yeah. It all started, actually, I can't even remember how many years ago now, that maybe eight years. And it all started because we have the absolutely enormous and incredibly impressive dollhouse of Kenmore that's on display in our visitor center.
That is pretty impressive.
If you haven't seen it, it's a really cool dollhouse. And it's down to the tiniest details, including the plasterwork ceilings and everything like that. And we decided one year that for Christmas it would be really cool to build a neighborhood for Kenmore and miniature there in the visitor center. And so we called it Wee Christmas, and we invited the public to bring in their dollhouses and miniature displays. And we were shocked to find out that there is quite a community of people who have dollhouses and miniatures in the greater Fredericksburg area. And they're really active and interested, and people really come out of the woodwork for this show. So it was a success, and we keep doing it. And every once in a while, my dollhouse makes an appearance.
Is it making an appearance this year?
I don't know. We'll see how much room we have. Usually, I'm a ringer that comes in at the end
if
we have extra space.
In.
Yeah. Because we like to have different things on display every year, and most years we do. But if sometimes we have a blank space on a table, we stick my dollhouse in there.
I usually will come by and see that sometime during the on a weekday. It's always interesting. It's always a lot of times grandparents will bring kids. You've got homeschool families.
Yeah,
will come, and there's just the amazement with kids, especially. But even adults. I mean, some of those. The one year, the one that I think is my favorite from all the years was this. It was like a movie theater.
Yeah,
and they were showing It's a Wonderful
Life. And it actually
Life.
Had a movie playing in it.
Yes.
Yeah. That was, our great friend James Ofer from Richmond, who is a miniaturist and has his own business, and every year brings a very elaborate something that he has built himself from scratch. And the year that he did the movie theater playing It's a Wonderful Life, was a banner year. It was very cool.
It's just, you talk about the Kenmore exhibit that's so intricate. Some of these, it's just amazing when you look, and it's so small.
Tiny.
Yeah.
So tiny. And some years we get the H-scale miniature displays, which are even 1/4 inch smaller in scale than regular dollhouse size. And it's just, and those have to be handmade. They're all fashioned by hand. And that level of detail is just kind of mind-blowing. You can spend a ton of time just standing and looking at one display to see all the tiny details, which is why that scavenger hunt that Amy was talking about is so challenging. To find those little details is really, there's just so much.
No, I remember, again, I got the sheet for the scavenger hunt, and I think I got like maybe one.
Stumps are interpreters too.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I'm lucky if by the end of the season I have found everything in the room, and it takes weeks. It takes weeks to find it.
Those are fun to do if you really get into that.
Absolutely.
But Wee Christmas is definitely worth seeing. And again, besides bringing them by and putting them, I mean, you can, what they're on display through.
It's the 4th through the 30th.
I didn't write that. Okay.
And then, and if you do attend one of our programs in January, you get a little extra time to see that exhibit as well. So to enter Wee Christmas, though, if you do have a miniature that you would like to display or exhibit, entry forms for that are due this Saturday. They are online. So there's a Google form and there's a PDF. So please get that in by 4 o'clock on Saturday the 19th. And then the drop off for that is only on December 3rd. And all of that information is on our website.
I would think, Megan, since you have one of these, I mean, these aren't things when you drop by that you just...
just drop them off.
You take really good care of them.
You do. And, this is great for a curator to do a dollhouse setup, because it is a very exacting process.
Yeah.
A lot of little pieces. They're not the easiest things to move around, but setup day is a lot of fun. It's a whole bunch of people that are kind of hanging out there for a significant amount of time, several hours, to set up their displays, and they're talking about their miniatures and they're looking at each other's stuff, and you know, there's oftentimes people bring coffee and donuts, and it's a fun kind of community thing. And it might take some time, and it might be very hands-on, but it's really rewarding and it's really fun.
And I'm sure just to have something like that, there's a great trust that Kenmore is going to take care of it, because
yes,
you're leaving your things there.
Yes. Well, we are professional curators. So
yeah.
We are trustworthy. And we do have, deposit forms that owners have to fill out when they bring them in to deal with all the legalities and insurance and that sort of thing. But your pieces will be on display in the same visitor center in which all of our, priceless Lewis and Washington family artifacts are on display. So
it's
a safe spot for your dollhouse.
It is. It's safe, and to be able to say that you did that.
Exactly. To have your miniature in a show.
That's
a big deal.
And, usually the visitor center is self-guided and there's one or two staff members. We bring in extra staff just
we
to
have security.
Watch over.
Oh, don't
your
I know?
Miniatures.
Don't
yeah,
I know?
Yeah, they've tackled Ted. Yes.
They have. I've got too close to one.
Oh dear.
Yes.
So listen to Ted, everybody. We do take this very seriously.
Totally.
There is actually security staff standing there who will intercede if you get too close.
I was, sir, could you just step back a little bit? So don't I know it? But it is, it's great. Wee Christmas and the gingerbread contest, and just to be able to see all of this is really good stuff. George Washington Foundation, Kenmore and Ferry Farm here this morning. Kenmore.org, the website where you can get all kinds of information on what you need to do for each of these. Kenmore.org. Town Talk, powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking George Washington Foundation this morning, Kenmore and Ferry Farm, with all kinds of holiday events. Amy Durbin is here, Dave Marock is here, and Megan Budinger here from the George Washington Foundation. The one last event, because we've talked about gingerbread and Wee Christmas, and we will talk about those before we get out of here this morning. But also, it is 12th night on January 6th, 7th, and 8th, I believe.
Yes.
And
Megan, do you want to?
Oh, well, sure. So
I never know which of you want to talk about 12th
night. Do you want the history
night.
Or the logistics first?
That's a great question.
Let's talk history
okay.
first.
All right. Well, 12th night is sort of the traditional 18th century holiday celebration in the 18th century. It's sort of the culmination of the Christmas season.
So they didn't celebrate on the 24th and the 25th
No,
as
not,
much.
Not the big way that we do now.
Okay.
They had the 12 days of Christmas. That's where the song comes from.
Yeah.
And the big celebration is at the end, on 12th night, the end of those 12 days. And it's sort of analogous to how we celebrate New Year's. It's a night of big parties and, firing guns off outside and dances and food and music and that sort of thing. And it goes till the wee hours of the morning. And so our 12th night program is a live action recreation of a 12th night celebration at Kenmore. And for our purposes, we depict it as the last 12th night that took place before the American Revolution started. So there's a strong educational component of what the local townspeople, what the Lewis family was facing with the impending war, as well as the Christmas season.
How interesting, though, because what was 1776, or is it 1775?
It would be 1775.
1775. How interesting, though, with just there with war probably coming and everything, it would have been just that. I mean, that would have been kind of, in the background of everything.
Over sort of overarching everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, the war is not really colony wide, and it's mostly in New England at that point from the spring of 75, and it hasn't quite reached like Fredericksburg and Fielding and Betty. I will say that everything Megan described will happen, except there will be no shots fired.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We don't actually fire guns. I should probably point that out. Yeah.
We do have the dancing. We do have the food. We will have the music. There will be no ammunition.
Okay.
Just want to reiterate that, especially for our neighbors who have animals who might call.
Who just panicked when they heard me say that.
Yeah. No. There will be no shots fired. But it will be a really fun event, and it is the three nights in January that you mentioned with multiple times. There's five different times at each of those nights to see this. And so if you want to bring your family, an earlier time might be nice. If you want to come as after the kids are in bed because you've got a babysitter, or you want to do something in the evening with friends, we've got, shows after the sun goes down. And it'll be a really great experience. And this year, thanks to Mara and Heather, archaeology and collections team, we're going to have another element to the program with some sort of cooking or food demonstration in the kitchen dependency, depending on if we get that chimney fixed. Anywho, so there might or might not be a fire, but there will be a really fun element. So you can extend your experience with 12th Night. That element is new for this year. So if you've been to 12th Night before, there are going to be some changes to it. So you should definitely buy a ticket and return again for the show, especially because I'm fingers crossing this year we will not have snow.
Or we will have snow, but not enough to cancel.
That.
Because last year was after that day.
Yes. Yeah. That was a lot of snow.
Yeah.
So we're hoping for, maybe some nice, ambiance. Yeah, dusting. Perfectly said, Megan. Thank you. But it'll be a really fun experience for people just to, again, see how Kenmore would have been decorated and celebrated during 1775.
I've never seen it, and maybe this will be the year, but I have heard Kenmore at night when you've just got candles.
Yeah.
I've known people that have taken this tour at night and just come back and say you get a whole different view of that house, seeing it from that perspective.
Absolutely. Kenmore by candlelight is just gorgeous. And it's really the way the house was designed to be seen. A lot of the stylistic decisions that the Lewis family made when they were building the house were made because they knew, from sundown to sun up, the only way to see the house was by candlelight.
Yeah.
And that was true for everybody in the 18th century. So you really see the house the way it was intended to be, and it's really impressive.
There are stories told, but it's so interesting when you think back at the Revolutionary War and the decisions that people had to make of what side you were going to be on and what you might lose. And there are a lot of stories.
Your brother-in-law is George Washington.
Especially if your brother-in-law is George Washington.
Yeah. I mean, there's really only one side you can take.
Well, yeah, kind of. It is.
Just a little bit there.
Yeah, and that's all depicted as part of the theatrical presentation. We have loyalists. We mm-hmm. have, you know, obviously the Lewis family and their concerns and mm-hmm. Their kids. We have the locals who maybe don't even really care that much about politics but are concerned about things like their daily lives being heavily disrupted and horse racing going away.
Yeah.
And, all of that sort of thing. So it's a real slice of life to really understand the realities of what that was at the time.
This is another, Twelfth Night is another one that has been going on for quite a while. Another
yeah.
event. Do you change the years around? I don't ever remember specifically, 1775 being set.
Well, over the years, it's evolved into 1775. When we first started, we were just sort of doing generic Twelfth Night.
Okay.
But then we decided we really wanted to focus on, because there really only ever was one Christmas at Kenmore historically in the 18th century before the war started.
And
it suddenly occurred to us that, that was probably the last year that the Lewis family ever really celebrated Christmas. There was not really a chance or even the means to do it after that. And so that seemed like something we wanted to hone in on in the last few years.
Okay. I missed that press release. Yeah. Somehow it's in my clutter box right now.
We just do it for us, really, Ted. Yes. I realize that the general public probably, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. I didn't know. That is it's a great event. And that, again, if you go to kenmore.org, get tickets for that. And that would seem like the kind, because you can only have so many people in the house at a time.
Well, yes.
So if you want to go to a certain one, a certain one of the...
You want to get your ticket.
Yeah, get a ticket.
Because we've already sold 16 tickets. And so you should definitely, if you want your choice and your
time.
Day, get your tickets now.
No. So, again, a great thing. And it does give you just a different perspective on how the holidays were celebrated, especially.
Even if you set aside the whole war thing, Christmas in the 18th century was a really different affair. There was no Christmas tree. There was no Santa Claus. The decorations were very different. But there was a lot of partying. There was a lot of food. There was a lot of drink, a lot of dancing. And that's really what we focus on.
I forgot about that, because we have talked about that before, that it was when you go into colonial era homes in the holidays and expect to see a Christmas tree.
You're not gonna.
No. Nope. That's it.
That was much later.
So this can be Twelfth Night meant for all ages, or is it more an adult kind of thing?
I think it's meant for all ages.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really great opportunity just to learn more about the times back then and, how they're different from today, and again, making difficult choices in life. So.
Okay. Kenmore.org. For more information on whether it's gingerbread or Wee Christmas or Twelfth Night. Amy Durbin, Dave Maraca, Megan Budinger here. Dave, with archaeology, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning, Dave, just about the new houses that are going to be that are going up right now. Will everything be ready by spring, summer next year?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay,
so. The stonemasons are pretty much done with their work. The carpenters are sawing away at the different woods that will be part of the construction. The frame of the storehouse is now up, and so if you drive by, you'll see sort of like a ghost frame of the building itself mm-hmm. is on the landscape. Come back in and use clay to fill in between the logs and put the roof on and put the floor in and put a door on, and that building will be pretty much done. And then it'll be up to Megan to furnish it.
Very different furnishing this time.
Well, jars, that's gotta be
stuff.
Yeah, no, that's gotta be a challenge. And
yeah, it is.
How do you find out?
Video
there's another video coming.
It is. Yes, it is with both of you. How do you figure out what was in there? I guess.
Well, it's it's a very similar process to how we figured out what went into the Washington House itself. It's looking at the archaeology, it's looking at the documentary record, but the actual stuff is just very different for an outbuilding. I mean, like Dave said, the root cellar was the refrigerator of the 18th century, and it's a whole building, but basically it's where they kept all of their preserved food to keep them, in food through the winter season. And that's a challenge. You have to figure out what storage jars look like and how they, we have to go through the process of figuring out how they preserved all the different foods so we know what they look like, what went in the pit underground and what went on the shelves around the walls, what hung from the rafters. So we're in the process of all of that right now. And it's a challenge because it's a very different thing than furnishing a house with chairs and tables and that sort of thing.
This is what's great about having you guys, though, because Dave finds it and then has it built. You fill it up and then Amy talks about it.
And hopefully we've done a good enough job that Amy has something to say about it.
So after these buildings go up, do you know what's next?
So we're always on the hunt for more outbuildings, and so
we're rooting for a kitchen.
Right, we're desperately seeking kitchen.
Desperately,
I think,
seeking
is the
kitchen.
Name of that movie from the 90s, right?
That'd be a good video too, Ted.
Yes, it would.
So we're gonna go next year. We're gonna we have an area that we like a lot, and so we're gonna open up. We're gonna leave. I think we're leaving the world of domestic work and sort of wandering into the world of agricultural work.
Okay.
And so we have a big pit that we accidentally ran into, and so we're going to go and excavate that completely and see what that thing is. In the best of worlds, it would be a kitchen, and so we would go right back to the world of domestic work, but but we'll just have to wait and see.
We've been fooled before.
Yes.
Oh, no, we've had those discussions where you thought it was, and then it turned out not to be. Now, does the kitchen have to be farther away from the house because there was fire and cooking, that kind of thing?
So there's a number of reasons you want to keep your kitchen away from your house. One is fire is a terrible threat in the 18th century. Wooden buildings with lots of open fires.
Yeah.
And so then also it's sort of smoky and smelly, and so you don't want that part of it. And then lastly, I mean, the houses aren't that big. And so if you can pull that function out, then you can do more things in your house.
It's just so interesting, that piece of land where the house is, and now you're adding to it. It really is coming. It's coming together. And in some ways, just like you thought, in other ways, like you said, you've thought things would be in a certain place, and they haven't been.
So the beauty of archaeology is the work, the process works, but you never know where you're going. It's like, oh, look, this is what we're finding stuff, and we're going to understand it, and when we uncover it, we'll eventually figure out what we're discovering. Whereas other things, you have an objective, and then you try to get to that objective. In archaeology, that's completely backwards.
Well, I would think, just because we've talked about it, that finding a kitchen would be, if you do find the kitchen, say, next summer, that would be a pretty substantial find for you.
Yeah, we'd be very happy if we found. And it would be the second kitchen. We have the first kitchen. It burns a little early for us. And so we're hoping to find.
It's not George's kitchen.
It's not George's kitchen.
Oh, okay. That's interesting that you have to keep it.
Right.
It's not good enough for us. We need a better kitchen.
Right. It's got to fit the time frame.
Yes. So, and the other thing is that us, like the Wizard of Oz, I'm all into movie references today. Someone dropped a house on that building. And so it's there's not much of it that remains. Only a little bit of a very deep cellar survived a 1906 house with a basement that someone built on top of that building. And so we could put that building back, but we wouldn't really know what it would look like. We'd have to base it on things other than archaeology.
Town Talk, powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. Amy Durbin, Dave Maraca, Megan Budinger here from the George Washington Foundation. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking George Washington Foundation this morning. Lots of holiday things coming up. Amy Durbin is here, the Director of Education, and it's all about gingerbread and all about Wee Christmas and Twelfth Night over the next few weeks.
Yes, we have quite the holiday season coming upon us soon. And so just to reiterate, if you're interested in contributing a miniature or dollhouse to Wee Christmas, you need to get that entry form into us by November 19th. You can do that online. You can email a paper copy to us. You can drop it off in person. But it's just crucial to get the Wee Christmas entry form in by November 19th. Gingerbread house contest and exhibit entry forms can come with your exhibit. So they can be dropped off anywhere from November 26th to December 3rd. And all of that information is available on our website. And I would just like to thank our sponsors for our holiday events, Lewis Insurance, Herschler, and Burke and Herbert Bank. They are new sponsors for these events this year, so we're really happy to have them.
Yeah.
And then 12th Night tickets are on sale now, so if you want to pick your day and time, you should do that sooner rather than later because they will sell out.
And with I forgot that with the weather, 12th Night didn't occur last year, did it? Or did it?
Did we squeeze in one show last year? I don't think we even got in one year.
We had no power. We had ice on the walks.
Yeah, because that January 3rd thing kind of got in the way. So.
Yeah. We ended up having a lot of tree damage, and it was, we always like the years when we get a little, atmospheric dusting of snow. And actually, that happens almost every year for 12th Night. But that was a lot.
But between COVID now and the snowstorm, you'll take...
If it's 80 degrees and balmy, fine.
That's fine. That is fine. And there are going to be new buildings, I guess, as you've described it, Dave, even maybe there'll be at least a good representation by President's Day when George Washington's birthday is celebrated.
Like I said, one of the frameworks is up now.
Yeah.
So, and that building will just be more and more complete. The other one is a little more complicated and will take a little bit longer.
Okay. Well, it's been a good year for the George Washington Foundation. I mean, there have been just some really fun shows. I just realized I printed out your schedule and I didn't bring it in here, but it's been a busy, busy year with really a lot of good information. Like we said earlier, I think a lot of the community has learned about Ferry Farm.
So and the education department has really rocked it.
Yes, they have
rocked this year. Yes.
I think it's a team effort. Archaeology and collections really helped education pull it all together. So again, without Dave's team finding the open holes in the ground, and without Megan's team, furnishing everything,
putting stuff in the holes,
and providing content information and objects and archival documents and images, none of these programs would have been possible. So I think it's just a team-wide effort.
And there, through the end of the year, there's a display about the women who saved Kenmore.
Yeah, that's right. We're getting into your final chance to see the Centennial Exhibit in the Kenmore Visitor Center. It will close at the end of the year. So if you haven't seen it yet, come in and do it now.
It's fabulous. It really is. It's got some great stuff in it that you might look at it and say...
That's cool.
It is. If you come, you really will.
And the incentive to see the exhibit before it closes is... For like the first, I guess, like 200 people who get there, they can get a USO pin that shows the house and shows Betty and kind of ties up the centennial celebration year.
Kenmore.org, Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, tourstaffordva.com. Thank you guys. We'll see you soon.
See you soon.
That is it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.